trouble, see, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And we are back, y'all. It's been a minute. We're still in season two, though.
Ayo.
So there's that. And today's episode is The Black Eye. Now, last week, if you guys heard our episode last week, Lucy did a recap, but sort of a recap, and a replay of the episode that this was inspired by from My Favorite Husband.
Yes. That was fun. I don't know. I haven't heard anything either yay or nay of people like that. So
Yeah, so let us know if you guys enjoy the replays, because not everyone's listened to My Favorite Husband, and it's kind of nice to put it up against, you know, the I Love Lucy episodes. So anyway, this one is The Black Eye, and it's the 55th episode overall of I Love Lucy, but the 20th in season two, which we are still in season two. And directed by William Asher, co-written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and Jess Oppenheimer. And this episode aired March 9th, 1953. Now, the synopsis here, a short synopsis, is after a household accident, which Lucy gets a black eye, neither she nor Ricky can convince the Mertzes that Ricky didn't hit her. So Lucy decides to make up a doozy of a story, which includes seeing another man and other things.
This is an interesting episode. Yeah. I have many thoughts on it.
I wrote down some things. I mean, some things are not as serious. Some are just like, you know, nitpicking at what reality would be, and also very serious topics. But anyway, we open up the show with Ethel and Fred calling out for each other. They're in the Ricardo's apartment. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lucy and the baby are napping, right?
Yeah, or yeah, because, you know, at some point Ricky says you're going to wake up the kid. Why are they looking for each other in the Ricardo's apartment?
That's a good question.
That's what I couldn't figure out. Like,
that's a good question. And
just letting themselves in, looking for each other, I guess.
Well, yeah, but that's not unusual, I guess, for them. So once they kind of both open the kitchen door and the front door, right? And that's where the bump is made.
When he gets his, it's like his nose eyes area, because he makes the joke that he may never smell again. And I love when Ethel's like, you want to bet?
Yeah.
What's funny is that the way they both, it just seems unrealistic a little bit as to them looking for each other in the Ricardo's.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, so maybe Ethel spends a good deal of time up in the apartment. You know, that's pretty well established. But I don't think that without Ethel, Fred spends a whole lot of time up there. You know, like, it doesn't seem like he spends a lot of time with Ricky alone up there, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But gotta suspend disbelief, right?
A lot of that in this episode. So,
yeah.
So they're coming up looking for each other. They bump into each other by opening both the kitchen door and the front door. And I'm not sure if you mentioned it earlier, but that's when he says, I may not be able to smell again because he was bonked on the nose, you know.
And I love when Ethel goes, you want to bet?
She's got the, but you know what's funny, or not funny, but when you bump into someone, your natural instinct, whether it's a complete stranger or your beloved spouse, you at least say sorry, you apologize, even if you think the other person's at fault, right? There was a collision of sorts, and nobody seems to have that in this marriage in particular. She just kind of moves on, makes a joke about his smelling. That's it.
Yeah, so they're arguing, and Ricky comes in, and, you know, he's like, you know, be quiet, you're gonna wake the kid, which I love. Is this because they didn't have a name picked out yet for him?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. And once they, you know, once he kind of moves away from the door, he's like, wow, she really gave you a bump. No, here is where is a couple of things where it begins to be a little odd. There are, I don't think you'd see a bump right away. Okay.
It would have to be like serious.
Yeah.
Or he'd have to have like a disorder. Like yeah. Apollo, he bruises super easily. So if he gets hit sometimes automatically, a bruise starts to form. Like it's super quick, but Fred doesn't have that. So
yeah, it hasn't been established.
And yeah. It didn't seem that bad. Like if you were expecting a bruise to come, I'd expect like blood or something. Like it would have had to been a pretty severe hit to the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's in agony. He's in pain, you know, and he's, again, no sorry for Methyl, no, like, nothing. And he's, you know, accusing her of having done it on purpose, which, again, is a very bizarre thing to say in a marriage. I mean, that he immediately goes to, she was purposely trying to assault him, you know.
Yes. But then he talks about the lodge meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do men still have lodge meetings? Is that a thing? Yeah. Like, we're not high class enough to like have lodge meetings around. So like, but like, do country clubs, do you think, maybe have meetings?
Maybe, you know, they used to have like these lion clubs. I wonder if that's the same thing, but he calls them his lodge brothers. So I'm not sure what goes on in a lodge meeting. Maybe she should have dressed up as one of the brothers and in disguise and see what they do there. But I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I should have looked that up. But they get into no one's going to believe, or actually you are going to tell the first real story of how a black eye happened. Now, what's interesting, now I know the physiology of how the body works and all of that has a lot to do with it, but she bumped his nose. How suddenly do we have a black eye?
Yeah, like by that night, you're going to have a black eye. It takes some time to develop.
Well, not only that, but that's not the place where it was hit. Again, I don't know if you get hit in the nose. Does the blood, you know?
It could. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pool elsewhere.
Like if you break your nose, you usually have like two black eyes. So like if you hit the side, like that would.
Oh, that's like when you have a nose job, right? You always see people have the bruising underneath the eye. So that's where the blood, I assume.
Yeah, it's all very like
connected.
Yeah.
Okay. So then where we get to this episode is also a flashback, by the way. And this is where he says, you know, I remember a time when you guys didn't believe about the black eye that Lucy got. I love that Ethel's like, when? It's like, how many times?
We've never.
And so that's when we have the flashback where I love that it's introduced. We were just sitting around doing, you know, reading a book, having a relaxing time. And then it just fades into the flashback. They're reading a book. And she, Lucy, is really engrossed in this book, which I love because she's just, you know, kind of like when she's reading the Mockingbird mysteries, murder mysteries, she's just engrossed. She's like me with true crime. We're just,
yes. Like, well, I was going to say, like, this book, it's like right down my alley, like a murder mystery, super, super right down my alley. I would read this book for sure.
And so this book that they're reading, I got this from 50slucy.com because they seem to have this I Love Lucy library of books that does the research because they zoom in to the certain, you know, angles and kind of Photoshop to find out, because sometimes it's hard to read what the title of a book is because it's so, you know, black and white and maybe far away. They like zoom into it, find it, scan it, and then bring us the information. So this is from 50slucy.com. The book about Madge and Gordon that Lucy and Ricky were reading was an extremely action-packed thriller. In the book, Madge tries to poison Gordon, who seemed to be her lover. When Gordon found out Madge's plan, he ran her over with his car. Later, I don't know why I'm laughing. Later in the plot, Gordon somehow died, and the police were going to drag the river for his body, which is my favorite part because they get so engrossed in this book. Later on,
we'll talk about that. Yeah, I love this.
It's just the best because Ricky's response to that. So Madge was said to be sobbing over the loss of Gordon, which doesn't make sense out of context, considering she tried to kill him herself earlier. And then they never get to learn all the details of what happened between Madge and Gordon. And the title of this book is The DA Takes a Chance by Earl Stanley Gardner, who's also the author of famous Perry Mason novels. And on this website, they also have, you know, zoom-ined of the cover of the book and the kind of the binder. And yeah, this looks like it's a first edition of 1948.
Wait, is this a real book?
It is. And in fact, when you go to that website, they do have a link for a purchasing link. I think it's eBay. I want to say it's eBay. Usually something like this would probably be only be found on eBay, but I don't know if it's like an Amazon link or another bookstore link, but certainly eBay.
Interesting.
Are you going to read The DA Takes a Chance by Earl Stanley Gardner?
Maybe.
That would be a good book review.
Yeah.
We could act it out. Fun.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. When did it come out? Maybe I can read it.
1948.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I did see that. I did see that mentioned The DA Takes a Chance.
Oh, okay.
As the actual book used, but that it's not the story.
It doesn't match.
That the story that's written was written by the authors, and then they used this book as a prop.
I see.
And let's see. This is the book description from Goodreads on The DA Takes a Chance. It says, blonde Eva Dawson comes to Hollywood to be a star and didn't make the grade. But as a party girl, she is much in demand until someone shot her during a wild party given for a lot of prominent politicians. Everyone clammed up and the pressure was brought to bear, even in the popular DA Doug Shelby. But Shelby and Sheriff Brandon wouldn't hush. I don't know. It doesn't sound like the same story.
No, maybe it's a good one, though.
You know,
interesting. Who knows? Interesting. No. Yeah. What I love is when she's like I said, when she starts acting it out, the dramatic reading, and then she looks over at him and she goes, "You don't like me, do you?"
Yes. And I love how Ricky knows that she's like building herself up. He's like, "Okay, calm down. It's okay."
Take a deep breath.
So before she even starts reading this book out loud, so he comes in right the beginning of the episode. Let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Of this scene, this flashback. He's looking for a book that she's reading.
Yes.
And so he notices, "Whoa, you're reading my book." She's like, "No, I found it." What is it? Finders, keepers, or readers,
go
keepers,
watch television. Losers.
Go look at the television. Yeah. So he's like, "No, I don't like that." And she's like, "Well, how about we read it together? We'll read it together." And that's, I can't do that. I can't read with people. I read so fast and then I'm just bored. And like, and then if they have any annoying tendencies, like Lucy tends to, then it's even worse, but we'll get to that. So she's like, okay.
I've gotten a little spoiled with audiobooks, but I listen to my audiobooks on 1.5 speed because I have no patience. So reading alone makes me full of anxiety. So audiobooks is great, but just like certain YouTube channels and audiobooks, they're all on 1.5 speed because I need you to get through this quickly and tell me what's happening.
Wow.
Yeah. So
all my pauses must be torture to you.
I'm like, cut.
Come on.
So they, so they're both trying to read, and you know, he says, and there she saw Lucy's thumb, because
it's, yes,
and I love her recap. Oh, you didn't miss anything.
She goes, you didn't miss anything on this page. She just tried to poison him and he tried to run over her with the car, and that's it. Nothing big happens.
Again, this sounds like those true crime channels I listen to, so it's hilarious. I mean, also, it's not
hilarious. I know that this is just a prop, right? But the place in which the book is opened to, it seems like super early in the book. And I went, and you're already talking about poisoning and running somewhere over. Like, that's, this is going to be a crazy book.
I wrote that book. Just get to the point.
Yeah. just oh opens with her murdering someone. No. Okay. Yeah. So they say that they decide, you know, we can't read together. And how about, I think it was Lucy's idea, like, how about we read out loud? One of us reads, and Ricky takes the book. He's like, okay, I'll do it. Which right off the bat is a problem just because of the accent sometimes. But yeah, then he goes back and forth. Do you do that?
No. I've always had this thought when it comes to this episode in particular, is, you know how the funny part here is that he starts to read it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
While I can read a book in English, and if I need to translate it to you in Spanish, it takes a second. So if I'm reading, like, I don't know, the synopsis about Madge and Gordon are having a fight that ends in disaster, I have to read that line first and then go back and translate what I just read. But the way he's reading it, it's like he's going word by word and turning them all into Spanish. I can't do that. I don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if people do that, or it's just put in there for the laughter of it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, and he jumps back and forth too.
Yeah.
Like, he'll add in I mean, English words as well.
I speak that way all the time. Spanglish with my, you know, my family, my brothers. I mean, that's hilarious. You know, that's not a problem. But the reading is where I don't know if people actually do that, because it takes effort to change words around. So, and it's not in front of you in Spanish, so I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm sure it was just probably put in there for the comedy effect, Erica. It's not that deep.
because Lucy's face, as soon as he starts speaking in Spanish, is perfect. She's like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she goes, well, this isn't going to work. And so she takes it. And this is one. Do you want to read it?
Oh, no, I don't think I wrote it down. So maybe you should read it.
Madge got up from the road after Gordon had run over her with a car and ran to him. She was beaten and torn. Her clothes were in shreds. Her blood poured from her many wounds. Their eyes met. Then in a feeble voice, Madge said,
you don't like me, do you?
Suddenly she gathered strength. Go ahead, admit it, she shouted. You hate me. You hate me, don't you? Don't you? Gordon couldn't stand it any longer. He screamed at her. Okay, maybe. You asked for it. Slowly towards her, Madge's eyes showed terror. He came closer, closer, closer. Now, guys, this part is when Fred and Ethel are outside the door when she starts reading this.
Doing something they never do, which is about to ring the doorbell and knock.
Right.
I mean,
they never do that.
No.
And even at the end of the episode, they walk in on them while they're reading from the kitchen.
And yeah, so actually this is Ethel's idea, if I'm being honest here, to knock on the door. And Fred's like, what, all of a sudden you have manners and you're going to knock? And
yeah, and Ethel's like, well, people appreciate when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethel, or Fred's line was, these aren't people, this is Lucy and Ricky. As they're out there discussing, that's when this scene is taking place about mm-hmm. you know, you don't like me, and but I dare you
when
you wouldn't strike me. I don't know why I'm laughing about this.
That's supposed to be because we know what happens next, that's why. Yeah. But so of course they're listening on the other side in the hallway, this dramatic reading, which sounds like threats by a husband to a wife, and she's double daring him to hit her. And so
she went one dare too far.
She knows better than to, what she say, dare him or no, something like that.
Hot-blooded Cuban or something like that.
Again, I take issue with how much they point out his Cubanness.
And usually for negative things, right? Like, right. In all seriousness, it's not like, well, that's, and they do the same thing with like redheads, not usually with her, but mm-hmm. I know it'd be like the hot-headed, like the, you know, the temper for a redhead is like a thing, you know, so they find it and they go with that one stereotype, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but they do. And so, of course, they're like, we're going to go downstairs and call. And Fred, again, is like, don't you want to go in there and see what's happening? This is right up your alley of being nosy, you know? And she said, no, she wants to go downstairs and call first in case, you know. Now, listen, in all reality, if you actually thought that your best friend is on the other side of that door getting beat up, for lack of a better term, you're breaking down that door. I don't care if they think
you're going to the phone and you're calling 911.
Or that.
If you don't feel comfortable breaking down the door, fine. But you would do something other than call them and be like, hey, we're going to come up for a visit now.
Oh my God.
Hey, girl, hey, then, how are you?
Now, I think here, let's see. Yeah, I think this is where that hilarious scene is. She keeps reading about them, you know, dragging the river for the body. And then, you know, because it cuts to a next scene of them laying there before the phone rings, because that's Ethel calling.
I mean, now, I don't know. I've read to Colin. Have you ever read to?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like out loud? Like, I didn't know. Like, I told someone that I did that. And I'm like, that's weird. And then I think it's that weird. But he's like fully comfortable, right? He's like laid out on the couch with a cigarette. He's like, this is great.
He's in the scene that she's reading.
So here, right? And so this is what it says. It says, later that night, Madge was crying softly in her room, waiting for the phone to ring. They said they'd call her if they found Gordon's battered body when they dragged the river. She waited and waited. Wouldn't that phone ever ring? And right then,
they found the body. What? Ricky's, I think one time I did this. If you go back and play that scene of him jolting out of the couch in slow motion, it's hilarious. It's so good. It's almost like he didn't expect her to yell when she did in real life. You know, and
maybe they didn't tell him that like she was gonna be that loud.
It was a like, very, very realistic jolt that perhaps wasn't expected, but it played out so good. And he goes, "What's the matter, honey?" And she says, I'm sorry, I just got, you know, she gets very, very involved in the book, which I love. You know, you can appreciate when a good book just sucks you in like that. So the phone ringing is Ethel. And trying to play off that they're going to come up and visit them. And, you know, we're just sitting around talking or reading. And she's, you know, she's trying to see if she can pick up any kind of signs or any kind of, you know, signals.
Lucy, this is Ethel, your friend to whom you may turn in a moment of crisis.
Yeah, I know.
And then she asks, can I bring anything? Cookies, ice cream, iodine?
She's like, no, we're good. And then after she hangs up, iodine.
Have you ever bought iodine? I had to look up to see if you could still buy it. No. And you can.
Huh.
But I didn't. I mean, it's just for like wound care, but I.
So like a peroxide?
Mm-hmm.
Like a hydrogen peroxide.
It's like that. I think the iodine's like that brown, like it leaves like a brown orangish stain.
Oh, okay.
I know I'm pretty sure they use it like surgeries like for that type of thing and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so please, I don't know. I could be totally wrong. But anyways,
so then she tells him that the Mertzes are coming up.
Yeah.
He's a little annoyed because he wants to keep reading. And she says, you know, we'll finish it after they leave or something like that. And of course,
quick readers too.
Yeah. And so she says, I'm gonna go put on a new face, which I love that phrase. It's used a lot in I Love Lucy because Fred, of course, always says, you're trying to tell me that you had another face inside there, you keep picking that one.
Humor. Anyways.
So she goes on inside the bedroom and he's like, let me toss you the book so you can put it away for we'll read in bed. Of course, he tosses it and it hits her in the eye. Now, the issue here is he tosses that book pretty low. Lucy's a tall lady. That's not occurring. So that's funny. But then, you know, we are to assume that it hits her eye because she comes out with her eye covered in pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had a question about, I've never had a black eye. I mean, I've had bruises,
But just specifically, I've never had a black eye. I've never gotten in a fight. Okay. I've never had, you know, anybody throw a book at me. None of those things. Or hit me in the face with a flower container, or what's the other one, or a door. So I looked up how long, because I didn't know if how much time, like earlier I said, it takes for a black eye to form, because we're to believe here in I Love Lucy that they're immediately, all these eyes are turning black right in front of us. And so it says that it might, the eye may start off slightly red and then progress to a darker shade. Later, the skin around becomes deep violet, yellow, green, or even black in color. Swelling increases as discoloration progresses. Again, like we mentioned, pulling of blood underneath the eye socket. So, I mean, of course, every hit is different. Every reaction is different, but you're not going to get a black eye that very second, like it shows here in I Love Lucy.
But they can't wait forever. Suspension of disbelief. They can't
wait overnight.
But yeah, I mean, she comes. So here's my problem with this whole scene. I guess I'd already passed that, like, mm-hmm. not believing that, because yeah, she would have had to been like sitting cross-legged on the floor quite close to him for it to have hit her in the eyeball. But also, when she says, you know, she's going to go get something cold to put on her face, right, to put on her eye. And we'll talk about when the Mertzes, because the Mertzes come in while she's going to do that. But mm-hmm. just real quick, she comes out with something. And I was, what does she have cold in her room? Is it just cold water?
From what it looks like, she's holding one of those rubber bags that you put, like you use for a strong migraine headache, or even I used to use that for a toothache. I would, you know, if it was like an overnight toothache, you put boiling hot water inside there. It's not going to burn your face because that rubber is usually really thick, but it brings comfort for some warmth and, you know, kind of helps soothe. So what I'm assuming she did was, if she said cold, something cold to kind of bring down any potential swelling, cold water is all I can think of.
Like for a black guy, like if you get injured, I've never been like, let me just get some cold water for a bruise.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, the Mertzes come in and they're trying to act like they didn't hear everything they'd heard, right?
It's so uncomfortable. Like, just come out and ask if you're going to, you know. But then again, they had nothing to go on, because let's say that book incident never happened. They could all just say, we don't know what you're talking about, if some potential domestic violence is happening in the Isle of Lucy apartment here. But
listen, like if they just said, we heard you saying this, then she could have like opened the book, said, look it, this is what I was reading, and everything would have been solved.
Especially with the I dare you, I dare you, I dare you thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it would have been right there. So, you know, they both come in obviously uncomfortable, and they're, you know, nothing new is happening. Just hanging out, relaxing. Oh, okay. Everyone's uncomfortable until Lucy comes out with this unfortunate bag on her face. And then she's like, oh, you poor little thing, you know.
She wants Lucy to tell her. For me, I was like, all these red flags about, like, if you have a friend in a situation like this, you don't push them for details. And what she does even like later is even worse, but like you don't push them and then make them feel bad and act offended when they're not ready to tell you yet.
Yeah. Especially if you're assuming something like this is happening, the aggressor is right there. So you probably don't want to get into it. I mean, again, we may be going a little far. This is a joyful.
This is what episode. We do. It's fine.
Yes. But the macro of it all is the comedy, but the micro, sort of, which should be the macro, is that this friend thinks the other friend is being hit, and that's a pretty serious thing. She may not react to it as you would, but it's a pretty serious thing to think that your friend is being, you know, hurt. So they said, oh, your eye, you know, what happened? And they're trying to be cute and funny, because we all know that nothing nefarious happened. It was just an innocent situation. Ricky slugged me, which is something, you know,
husbands and wives, I think, couples or partners all make a joke of sometimes when something happens, like, you should see the other guy, you know, but yeah. But you know, or if something, if you fall into a pool, you know, you say Colin pushed me or something, I don't know, something like that. I just, but here when you walk in already predisposed thinking that he's an abuser, it doesn't help.
She says, yeah, he sugged me. He agrees, and they kind of like play off of each other, and then they stop when they see the merchants' faces.
Mm-hmm. They're not laughing.
Super unenthused, not laughing. And all of a sudden they realize, oh wait, the merchants think that I'm telling the truth. They're like, no, of course this would, like, we would never have that, you know,
happen.
Never, yeah, hit her, whatever. You do get to see, I forgot to mention this, when he hits her in the face with the book, you get to see what a loving relationship when someone hurts their partner.
Yes, that's what, like, I was trying to say.
He feels so bad about it. You know, he's like, oh, dang it. You know, like, he feels so bad about it.
Yeah.
We saw that didn't happen with the other two. But anyways, yeah. Ethel takes offense to Lucy not telling her what's going on.
Probably she feels she's not comfortable enough to, you know, kind of spill what's happening and who hit her and all of that. But so they get offended and they want to leave. And they're like, what the heck just happened? And you don't think this happened, do you?
There's a point. So they end up leaving. And there's a point, like, after they leave and they close the door, when Lucy says, well, did you ever? Those are her words. Mm-hmm. But that, I don't know why, but that part specifically, like, I heard Lucille Ball and not Lucy Ricardo. Like, it sounded so much like she sounded like, like, serious, and like, I don't know, it just didn't sound like Lucy Ricardo to me for some reason.
I see what you're saying. Like, Lucy Ricardo would be like, well, or something like
that.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Yeah. But Ricky's like, I don't care, because now we get to finish the book. He's excited. He's like, okay.
Yeah, they're both not paying attention to it because they know it's not serious. It's not real. But yeah, so like you said, they're excited about continuing to read the book.
Next scene. Lucy's got a piece of meat over her eyeball.
Which
gross.
Yeah. So there's, you know, people sometimes use bags of peas or something frozen, and that's what I think is being used for the meat here, right? Just to kind of bring down the swelling. She's vacuuming, and that's when Ethel comes back in, and she's kind of like, she hasn't slept all night, the poor thing.
So Ethel comes back in, and this is another thing. So Ethel comes in, she really just wants a story. She doesn't want to hear that nothing happened. And she doesn't really care if it's true, I don't think. Like, she just wants a story. And you can see, because she starts adding to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Right. So she comes in and Lucy's vacuuming and she goes, has the brute gone? You know, she's obviously referencing Ricky here. And she's just like, oh, yeah, you know, he left. But she laughs to herself because she knows this is silly, that we're still continuing this conversation from last night.
Yes. I actually very much dislike that she throws the meat on the side table.
I didn't even notice that. Did she really?
Just like onto the table. I'll see if I can get a screenshot, but like literally there's nothing on the table other than the meat. So she just, I was like, aren't you cleaning up? You're making more of a mess by throwing a piece of raw meat on the table.
That's funny. Ooh. Wow.
Anyways, Lucy realizes, she ends up actually saying, like, you're not gonna leave until you get a good story from me. And Ethel was like, pretty much was like, yeah. She sits down and she settles in. Well, a great
first
story.
She comes in and says, you know, she came to apologize and she couldn't sleep a wink. And she's thinking, oh, that's sweet, you felt bad because of the way you spoke to me. And it's like, no, I couldn't sleep because I didn't know what the heck happened. The gossip part of it all, the juicy details, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when Lucy starts saying, listen, I told you, and you could tell that Ethel's face is just, like you mentioned, is not buying it. So she tries to go into it and she's just going to make up a story to kind of coincide with why that would anger Ricky, right? And what I love is that
as Ethel sits down, pulls up a chair, sits down like she's ready to watch a show.
Just need some popcorn, right?
Right. And then Lucy's like, close your mouth. Because she's got her mouth wide open to like inhale this gossip that's about to happen.
So Lucy goes through this whole scene. At one point, Ethel is like, and he says he hated you. And Lucy's like, okay. Like, she sure. just goes along with it. Sure. Sure. That mm-hmm. works. Fits into the yeah. story. But it's all very much made up.
Yeah. And she makes up the whole story.
And then, you know, Ethel goes, you know, what made him so angry? So again, not asking how she, I mean, in this story, she was like brutally attacked.
He grabbed me by the hair and slugged me. And I'm yelling, mercy, mercy. And then he kicks me. I mean, this is
yeah, he hits her like 3 or 4 times and then she kicks says, her while she's down and chokes
she
her.
She says, this is better than I expected. That's not okay. The kicker here is that she tells him that she's in love with another man, and then for no reason at all, he
oh,
just...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ethel goes, what made him so mad? She's like, I don't know. This is what she says. She said, I don't know. And she goes, you don't know. And she said, no, we were just sitting, talking about the weather, talking about his new night show. I said I was in love with another man. And she goes to keep going. And Ethel goes, wait, wait, wait.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And so that's when he hit her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course she wants to know who the other man is. And Lucy's like, I will not tell you. And so they end this scene with them having a full-blown argument over a fake piece of information.
Yeah, Ethel's harassing her for this name. Who is it? Who are you having this affair with or this love with? She's like, I'm not going to tell you. I need to know. I didn't sleep all night. You know, just again, we're running past the abuse part. We're just getting into the gossip part of it all. And so the scene ends, and now we're at the florist. Which,
yes.
I don't know how they set that up. Why did they meet up at the florist? But it's Fred and Ricky, and they're both chatting about what happened the night before.
Well, Ricky, he doesn't really want to talk about it. He's like, nothing really happened. I stand by what we said yesterday. Like, it's all done. And mm-hmm. Fred is like, I wasn't really mad at you. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, you shouldn't have, but it's done. So he's not mad at him and yeah, totally understands why he would mm-hmm. hit his wife.
yeah, but, he does. He
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you're right, because he's very understanding. And mm-hmm. he tells him, I know about how these things work. Do you, sir? Should we chat with Ethel? I mean, what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he says, but it's worse if you don't apologize.
Essentially, which how does he know?
Right. Again.
Has he done this with Ethel?
Mm-hmm.
And then did he win her love back with flowers?
Many questions.
Punched her in the face and then bought her some flowers and
kicked her.
Everything's better.
So Fred is trying to convince Ricky to send flowers because they're right there. And he's like, listen, thanks for being so concerned. Nothing of the sort happened. You know, we just made that up to kind of make you guys, I don't know what, but no, I'm not doing that. And he's, you know, Fred's very insistent. I'm not quite sure why, but maybe he is trying to help. I don't know. But he can't convince Ricky to send flowers. He's like, I'm not going to do it. I didn't do anything wrong. So, you know, in order to help him, now he leaves to work because he's had enough. He's just leaving.
Yeah, and Fred's like, late. He's like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah. And so Fred takes it upon himself to speak to the person working there, who's played by Bennett Green, one of our profiles we did. He's one of Desi's stand-in. And this is where I think he has the most lines, because I don't think I've heard him talk that much in other episodes up until now anyway. And so he says he's going to send some flowers, and that's where the mix-up comes in after that. Because he then attaches a note to it.
Yes, darling, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Eternally yours, Fred. And so a few things. He, you know, is able to quickly write it, send it out. Like the truck was just leaving. And he says, good, I want it to get home before her husband arrives. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the flower man was like, ooh, you know, what do you mean? And he goes, no, not like that. Not what you're thinking.
Birds.
Yeah. And then he reads out, like he's going back over what he wrote. And that's when he realizes he signed it in his own name. Now, This isn't something we've talked about a lot, but did you notice that in this episode, Fred was shaking a lot?
You know what? Yes. And this happens
specifically this scene.
You're absolutely right that we have never addressed it, although up until this episode that we're at, episode 20 in season 2, it does happen quite a bit just throughout the entire season. I know it's a nervous or, a, you know, something condition that he, Fred, or William
has. It's the alcohol withdrawal.
Oh.
Because he wasn't allowed to come to set drunk.
Right.
And he was addicted. Everyone, you know, not everyone, but like he was addicted to alcohol. And so one of the side effects of withdrawal and can happen quite early if you are dependent on it. You know, it can happen within hours. And I know people that when they wake up, they have to have something by their bed.
Yeah.
Because if they wake up, they'll have the shakes like that. And so like first thing in the morning, they wake up and they drink so that they don't have the shakes. And so that's from like alcohol withdrawal. But in this one, it's just very noticeable. And specifically at the scene, like when he's closing the card and handing the card over.
Yeah, but, he does do a lot of shaking. You're right.
Mm-hmm. With that being said, I love when he realizes it was his name and he like pulls the hat down over his head and like runs off because he's freaking out.
Yeah. This is why you don't mess in other people's situations, because you're just going to mess it up for yourself and for them.
Yes.
And so
this is another episode where Fred and Ethel are running the crazy train. You know, like things spiraled out of control, because of Ricky or Lucy, but because of
were the innocent bystanders in this whole thing. And so it cuts to Ethel sitting in the living room of her apartment, and Fred comes in, obviously, and I mean, very obviously nervous about something, or, you know, just anxious about something. And he's, you know, he's asking Ethel if anybody came by, specifically a delivery is where he was getting at.
He was like groceries. He didn't want to say flower delivery, I don't think, but
yeah.
He said, no, no one like that. Just a flower delivery boy.
Yeah. And so he says, you know, that. Oh, actually, no. Ethel's like, I'm going to go look at the flowers to see where they're from. Because again, she's continuing to be nosy. She's
nosy,
still like,
nosy.
I mean, the concern went away and the nosiness of knowing who this lover is has escalated. And so she wants to go over there and read the card and see who it's from. Because by the way, this is what we see here, is that her and Fred own the building. So they have master keys and they have keys to every apartment, which feels so invasive. I mean, I know that they just walk in anyway, but just when they point out how much they have access to all those people's apartments, they'll have like, you know, ringing, swinging the keys on the ring and, you know, all that. So Fred's like, no, don't do that. I don't want no wife of mine to be snooping in people's apartments, which if this was yesterday, he wouldn't have cared.
He would have been like, all right, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs up. He's like, you don't do that. Stay here. And he runs up to go into their apartment and try to steal the note before Lucy gets home.
Right.
And of course, Ethel doesn't listen to him.
No, of course not.
Because
she's dying to know what's happening, who this lover is. So what I love is, I think Lucy starts to come into the apartment and Fred hears that, freaks out and runs into the closet.
Oh, yeah. because then Lucy goes in the back. Does she leave the door? No. She goes into
the
back and Ethel walks in, right?
Well, yes, the door is open because then Ethel, after she opens up the case, sees that it's flowers, Ethel comes, goes, la, 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 like she's just walking down the hall.
I love
which
that.
Which is hilarious, just hilarious. And then she pretends that that's the first time. Now, we failed to mention here that she also snuck in and tried to see if she could peek at the card.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. But then she like snuck out.
Right.
And pretended she was just coming in.
Yeah, with the la la la.
And whenever you're extra loud and obnoxious, like la 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 la, of course.
She's so obvious.
Yeah.
And so she says, you know, who are these flowers from? She says, look how beautiful they're. Oh, they're from Ricky. She says, maybe they are, maybe they're not, you know.
And she wants her to check.
She's like, I wouldn't do this for anybody but you. Here, you read the note. And of course, you know, darling, I love you. I love you. I love you. Eternally yours, Fred.
At least he didn't put Fred Mertz, but
oh my God,
Ethel. No, yeah. She's like right away. She's like, yeah. Oh, Fred.
Yeah.
And Lucy goes, you can't possibly think that I fell for Fred Mertz, you know, like.
And she's like, well, he certainly wasn't written by Fred McMurray. And so if you, any Lucy fans know, Fred McMurray would go on to guest star on Lucy Hunts Uranium episode of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour. And he was also in My Three Sons with William Frawley. Sure was.
I was reading that. Yeah, good for him. No.
Go Fred. So then after he says, they say that, then Fred is hiding in the closet, as we know. And I think that's when she insults and said, well, you know, why would I want to be with Fred? And goes over to the closet. And that's when she opens the door and there he is.
Yeah, well, he takes the jacket and like kind of closes the door. And both of the women are like, wait a second. And so that's when Ethel opens it, and that's where we see Fred hiding behind the jacket.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make anything better.
No.
So this is where a chain of events starts happening, right?
Series of unfortunate
events.
Yes.
Ethel is mad at Fred and thinks that Fred is cheating on her. So she takes the box and slams it across his face.
Now,
giving him a black eye.
I've never had a box of flowers slammed into my face, but I do know what a box of flowers or a box for flowers weighs like. And it certainly has no weight to it whatsoever, enough to cause. First of all, she didn't hit his eye. Second of all, for it to give you any more than perhaps not even a paper cut, just annoying. You know, I mean, if you do it hard enough, maybe a red mark or something, but other than that, I don't think you're going to cause a black eye. But so there's
Fred, yeah, and Fred is mad and he thinks that if Ricky had just sent the flowers, none of this would have happened. So he punches Ricky
because he's getting home. Yeah, he's just getting home.
You don't see it, but you can hear the like, hey, how are you? And then Fred punches him and Ricky comes in. Got that very
now that's an odd, bizarre way to react to just being punched by your friend. I mean, he's very calm. Yeah, what happened? Yep. and so
but Ricky's he holding also is married to Lucy, so it's the craziness that he goes through things all the time, like no, fine.
Yeah, so then he you know, he's holding his eye because that's turning black. Fred's walking down the hall with his own black eye, and then the next scene, because she looks over at Lucy very confused as to what the heck just happened. And then the next scene is them in the apartment. I think they're still nursing their eyes.
Yeah, Lucy and Ricky are sitting in the apartment reading again.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when the Mertzes come in looking all
sorrowful. Fred comes in first. mm-hmm. has to clear his throat. So again, creepy with how just like he walks in, doesn't announce himself until he's right next to them. And it's like,
yeah,
he's like, so we have to make an apology. And I guess the exact same thing happened to Ethel. Mm-hmm. Because he says, you know, I believe you because it happened.
Oh, that phony story about throwing a book at someone and giving them a black eye. And then he says, well, not so phony. And he goes, what do you mean? And he goes, Ethel. And she comes in. Now she has a black eye. What are the chances? Everybody has a black eye. Oh, and so they all start laughing and show off all their shiners, and that's that. But like a feel good ending and laughing and all that. But there's a lot of serious problems, from your best friend not believing you to your best friend trying to gossip with you about your troubles to domestic possible violence. Abuse.
I mean, mm-hmm. at some point, either she didn't believe it was real, or she really thought that it was real and was just reveling in the fact that she's got this good story to tell.
Yeah, and like my awful. Friend is having an affair and this might be interesting and juicy. And oh yeah, she got hit by her husband. But we have that. And then we have her thinking that her friend and her spouse are having a relationship. It's just all kinds of things stemming from that one bad toss, you know. So I mean, it's a fun episode. This is what we do here, folks. We dissect and we deep dive.
Glad to ruin this episode for you forever.
It's not that big a deal, but you know, at the end, everyone's happy, understands that these accidents do happen. I have never accidentally been bruised like that or hit like that. Maybe when my daughter was a kid, she would kick me, you know, when they're toddlers and they do a lot of kicking.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've ever been bruised, but it sure felt like that. But other than that, I haven't had any. Thankfully, it probably happened today now that I said that.
It's like, yeah. Hey, back. You're going to send me a photo.
Be like, I know. You're not going to believe what just happened.
If you don't look too closely into it, it's quite fun.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, unless you have anything else to add to that, we will be back next week or when time permits. with our next episode. But leave us rate, review, let us know if you like the you know, the re-releasing of My Favorite Husband, just kind of listening to the episode. I think it's fun because it's fun to listen to the differences, the subtle changes of the scripts on both, you know, because they have to change so many circumstances around her. But yeah, other than that, find us everywhere. Having a ball pod. Lucy's favorite part. Having a ball pod at gmail.com, having a ball pod on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Wonderful. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.